I've heard husbands say, the Bible says that wives should obey their husbands. And look, my wife is not obeying me. Then I've heard wives say that the Bible says that husbands should love me or their wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. And so when you look at the title here, it says obedient love. You say, that sounds like almost a contradiction. You've heard people talk about love, and you've heard people talk about obedience. And putting them together seems very appropriate this morning. I'm sure you've heard the expressions, if you love me, don't do this to me. Or if you love me, do this. Or because I love you, I'm doing this. And we sometimes use the words love to score points, or to make the other person feel guilty, or to make the other person realize that they're not treating us well, and so on. We continue our lives. Obedience very often does not mean that you are in agreement or it will benefit you, but rather it is because you love the person and you want to please him or her. A good example is the person who would give up something or do something not because it pleases him or her, but because it pleases the person that he or she loves. And I believe after being married for 49 years, we have many examples to share with others, my wife and I. She has given up stuff, things, because she loves me, and I've given up things because I love her, and yet not enough done. There's always something new we want to give up for each other, and then obedience comes into the picture. And people have looked at the word obedience and said, no, I'm a Christian. I'm a born-again believer. I've been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. God knows me. I don't have to put myself under rules and conditions. And obedience means that I have to blindly follow God. Well, as a matter of fact, our faith is not a blind faith. It should be a seeing faith. It is a seeing faith. We see God every day. We see God's hand in our lives. When Abraham took his son to offer him as a sacrifice to God, he did not for a moment think that it would be the normal thing or do and pleasing to his family. Not for a moment Abraham thought that was cool. I'm going to sacrifice my son. And he, for a moment, didn't think, I believe, that my wife will be very happy to hear this. Or my son, that I prayed for so long, will appreciate being killed by his father. And yet, because he loved God more than anything else, and this sounds illogical, this sounds inhumane, not human, this sounds terrible, and yet that love Abraham had for God, it was demonstrated in his obedience to God. But he was willing to do it because he loved God and trusted him. Someone said, obedient love is a voluntary action taken just because the one you love wants it done and because you desire to please him. That sounds good. Let me read that again. Obedient love is a voluntary action taken just because the one you love wants it done and because you desire to please him or her. Actually, obedience is an action that demonstrates one's love. Love and obedience are inseparable. They are the two sides of the same coin. We cannot separate love from obey God. If we claim to love Jesus Christ and claim to be Christians, followers of Christ, then we must prove it with our action of obedience. Now, if we say that, yes, I love Jesus, yes, I am a baptized believer, yes, I'm a member of the church, and Christ is my Lord and my Savior, and then go ahead and do all the things that displease Him, we are not obedient to Him. Our words are mean nothing. As a matter of fact, in Luke 6 and verse 46, we read, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say?" Actions speak louder than words. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? And you say, well, we do. No, we don't. The Bible says, pray unceasingly without stopping. The Bible says, do not let the word of God put it away. Don't put it away. Just meditate on it. The Bible says, love your enemies. The Bible says, the man who does not provide for his family is worse than an infidel. The Bible says, don't lie, don't cheat. The Bible says all these things, and we say, yes, we are followers of Christ. Yes, we are Christians. Yes, we are born-again believers. And then we continue our lives the way it is. Yes, you know what? I don't think people really appreciate hearing these things, and yet I believe the Bible is given to us to learn from it. And my responsibility as the pastor of the church is to share these things with you, and it is our collective responsibility to pray together and strengthen each other and help each other to live obedient lives for the Lord. The original Greek word for obedience here is tirisate, tirisate. And the verb is tiro, which means I'm keeping. Keep, to keep. If you love me, you will obey what I command. Now, people have taken the first part of this, if you love me, and we say, yes, we love Jesus. As a matter of fact, the last words Jesus said in Matthew 28 is, go and preach or teach or make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and tell them to keep every word I've said or given them. Now, we pick and choose. Churches today pick and choose which words sound good. What message will help people feel happy? What message will talk about prosperity? Messages about prosperity and feeling good and being happy are very popular. Who wants to talk about sin? And who wants to talk about salvation or all kinds of things? Εάν με αγαπάτε, that's the Greek lesson this morning. Εάν με αγαπάτε, τις δικές μου εντολές να τηρήσετε. If you love me, my εντολές, my laws, what I teach to you, keep them. Here Jesus is saying that if we love him with a sincere love and commitment, we will live a life that pleases him. Not pleases us, not pleases what pleases my wife, not pleases my children. Although if I am living a life that is pleasing to God, that is going to please for sure to my wife. And if she doesn't appreciate it, and if she doesn't want to see God in my life, then that becomes her problem. But my job is to be obedient to the one that I love more than anyone else. We cannot separate love from obey Christ. You may do what others do, but you may do that with others, I'm sorry, but not with God. You may be able to obey someone's instructions or orders, not because you necessarily love him, but because you want to or have to, but not because you love that person. At school, you obey your teacher because the teacher wants you to write this. The teacher wants you to say this. At home, you obey your husband because he is so stubborn and he wants it his way. And you say, oh, I don't want to start an argument, and you obey him. At work, you obey your boss even though he is wrong. And you know that things will go wrong because he says so. But that's not the same as obeying God. We must obey God because we love him. Obedience is not possible without love when it comes to God. And love without obedience does not happen, should not happen. Your boss or someone in authority may demand and get your obedience, but cannot demand and get your love. Well, you may pretend to love a person and be very convincing, but not God. You cannot love God without having the fear of God in you. You cannot love him without obeying his word. And you do not truly fear God unless you love and obey him. Some people may say that there are contradictions here. Some others may say that there is no such a thing as fearing God. God is love, and we must love him, and we cannot fear God. God is not going to punish us. And the truth of the matter is, because God is so loving, Jesus came to this earth and gave his life for us, and all he wants from us, or if you want to say all he demands from us, is our obedience to the things that are going to make us happy, and the things that are going to bring joy in our daily life, and the things that are going to bring joy in our family, and finally will lead us into eternal life. You say, no, if I practice my Christianity, my friends will despise me or hate me or laugh at me. My wife won't understand. My husband doesn't understand. My children don't understand. My parents don't understand. So I'm just compromising. The truth of the matter is that God is able and has the power and has the Holy Spirit given to us, that by living an obedient and loving life, lives will change around us. God knows our every action and every thought. Just remember that more than anything else, God is looking for obedience from us. We can demonstrate to him how much we love him by how we follow his will for our lives, by how we honor him in our way of life, and how we serve him. In 1 Samuel 15:22, we read, "Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the voice of the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than fat of rams. In reality, it is impossible to live for him and honor him in everything we do without his help, without the help of the Holy Spirit. And because God knew this, he gave us the most incredible gift to help us give love, godly lives. He gave us the Holy Spirit, who lives in us, the true believers, and gives the power to obey him and follow him. When a radio is tuned turned on. Let's suppose you go to your radio and you turn it on. Now the radio is on, and you want to tune to a particular station, a particular frequency, a broadcast. That unseen, invisible power enters the radio. It is processed and gives the desired result. But just turning the radio on does not bring the desired result. You must also tune it to the right frequency and remain tuned to that frequency. It is not enough for someone to turn his or her spiritual switch on to a religion for the truth. You have to turn on the radio, yes, but to tune to the truth. In Proverbs 8:17, we read, I love those who love me, and those who seek me find me. And you know, reading that verse, I thought of those who take that little radio and start tuning it and looking and adjusting it and fine-tuning it until they get a clear signal or sound. And they are satisfied. Well, that's how it is. You can't just say, okay, I'm religious, I believe in God, and just throw on the switch and say, okay, now I'm a Christian, I go to church once in a while, and I give some little money here and there, and I help others, I don't lie, I don't cheat, I don't commit adultery. That's turning on the radio. And for the people that don't know exactly what you're looking for, it sounds okay, you are on a station. And yet, if you really want to communicate with God, and if you really want to hear His voice, then you have to go to the right channel, right frequency. Every time we talk about our radio program on WCHB, I mention the frequency. And I'll say, it is on 760 on your AM dial. I just want to make sure that you remember just turning on the radio and going to WCHB won't necessarily do. You must know also how to find it and find the real time. Jesus said, seek and you'll find, for everyone who seeks finds. So there's something we must do. And I know that some people believe that we have nothing to do with it. That we have nothing to do with our salvation. That we have nothing to do with our spiritual walk. That we have nothing to do with being connected with Jesus, because God loves each one of us. But here, Jesus, these are the words of Jesus Christ on earth. He said, seek and you'll find. That means, look for me. Ask, for everyone who seeks, finds. Jesus also made a promise when he said, in John 14:23 and 24, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. Says, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teachings. Love and obedience are linked. Love for Christ and keeping his commandments cannot be separated. Jesus reminds the believers that he is not going to leave them as orphans. The Spirit of truth will be with the followers of Jesus Christ, teaching them, us, and reminding us everything Jesus said and taught us. In verse 27, Jesus speaks of the perfect peace that only he gives. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your heart be troubled, and do not be afraid. But let's not confuse the peace Jesus gives with the peace the world promises but can never deliver. Peace with Christ offers us an active peace. It comes from seeking an active relationship with Him. Those who are trying with their own efforts to find peace, they will not find perfect peace. Are you trying to find peace? Or maybe you are working hard to create a peace situation, but you are not succeeding. You are trying hard in your life. You are doing your best at work. You are doing your best at the office. You are doing your best at home with your children, with your spouse. And yet things are falling apart. Because you are trying. Because you using your own logic. You using your own ingenuity to do it. And you can't. But when you have peace with God and you're obedient to God, you'll ask Him to guide you and help you deal with the situation. Please remember that only Christ can give you peace, real peace. This peace is available to all those who want to receive it from Him. This peace that Christ offers is special, unique. It is the result of our relationship with Him. The more we obey God, the greater will be our enjoyment of His peace and His presence. Obedience must be both the starting and finishing point of our Christian life. Without it, faith is defective. True faith means to be fully surrendered to God's will. There are many reasons why we don't obey. Sometimes it is inconvenient or conflicting with our own plans or desires. And sometimes we don't respond to our fear. Now, why is it that we don't obey God? And I had to examine myself. All week, actually, after I thought of this message, or the title of the message, I don't disobey God sometimes because it is not pleasing to me. I don't obey God because it's going to put a lot of stress on me. I don't obey God because what I know the Bible is saying or God is saying are going to deprive me from some of the pleasures I enjoy right now. Or because I enjoy getting on the phone and gossiping. I mean, it's not even gossiping, you think. It's just sharing. And if I really take the word of God literally and obey God, when He says, love your enemy, then I can not say anything bad about my brother or sister or my enemy. How can I stop doing this, which gives me a lot of pleasure during the week or night or wherever I am? And so I ignore it. I compromise. How can I obey God and go to fellowship meetings or Bible studies and prayer meetings when I have so many other things that are keeping me so busy? I have my children that I enjoy. I have my wife, my husband. I have my business to run. I have all kinds of things that will not allow me to go to church or Bible study or prayer meeting. How can I really love my wife or husband when they make my life so difficult? So I compromise and I say the Bible says she should obey me. And she says, the Bible says, he should love me like Christ loved the church. So he doesn't love me, that's it. And this is not the way Christians should live. We should live. Yes, it does take a lot of sacrifices in life. But those sacrifices are not made because we can make them. It's because God is helping us make them. And because we made a commitment. And because now we are obedient to God. Obedience must be both the starting and finishing point of our Christian life. Without it, faith is defective. Until we make peace with God, we can never experience the real peace and joy. But real peace comes through total commitment to God and obedience to Jesus our Lord. Obedience. Obedience is a word that we hate, or we only like it when we demand from someone else to be obedient to us. But for each one of us to be obedient to God, to be obedient to the boss, to be obedient to the teacher, to be obedient to the wife or husband, you say, what? I'm the husband. I should be obedient to the wife. The Bible says wives have to be. Well, love demands everything. And if something that I'm doing is making my wife very unhappy and has become a stumbling block for her spiritual growth, I will obey the Holy Spirit, not my wife, but I'll obey the Holy Spirit by not doing it. And if what a wife is not obeying the Holy Spirit to do the things that the husband needs to have, or to become a good example, or not to become a stumbling block, it's not obeying the husband necessarily, it's obeying God, the Holy Spirit. So our obedience is to God, to the Holy Spirit, and not to each other. And that, by obeying the Holy Spirit, by obeying God, then it becomes like if we are driven by the Holy Spirit and not by own selfish desires. Listen to what Jesus said. Peace I leave to you. My peace I give you. I do not give it to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Love, obedience, and peace are an inseparable trio. If we love Jesus as we should, we will obey Him no matter what. And when we do, we can enjoy the peace that only God brings in our hearts and lives and families. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for loving us the way we are and learning from your love. We must love others the way they are, and yet we cannot always agree, and we cannot always accept what they say, what they do, and yet the love that you have put in our hearts should control our emotions and our actions towards the other person. Be with us this morning. Create a loving heart and help each one of us to be obedient to you. And if when we are obedient, Lord, to you, you will always guide us and direct us to the right and not to the wrong things. In your blessed name I pray, amen.